few thoughts for a few minutes. 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David rose and went with all the people that were with him from Baalah of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord in all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. In another verse in 1 Samuel chapter 7, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. And the men of Kirjat Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it unto the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. I just trust a few thoughts in line with the testimony we've been speaking of, we have in these passages. I know I've spoken on this before, but the Ark of the Testimony, I believe, a picture to us of that which bears witness to the name of the Lord Jesus, that where his name was being called, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, and that dwelleth between the cherubims. It was a place where the Lord dwelt. And I'd just like to connect these thoughts to our hearts, to those of us who enjoy this wonderful truth of being gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he's promised his presence. And it surely is a wonderful privilege. I don't believe there's anything equal to this on the face of the earth. And the privilege that we had this morning together, as we bowed our heads in the presence of the Lord Jesus and we showed his debt together. How precious to the eyes of our Father and of the Lord Jesus that we would be so occupied with that moment when there was no heart to answer to his own, that by his grace he has worked in our hearts and has produced some response to this infinite love and glorious work that he performed. I'm sure David meant very well here, and so did Uzzah and Ahio, and they had good intentions in bringing up the ark this way. We know from the Old Testament scriptures that that's not how the ark was to be carried. It was to be carried on two pieces of wood and lifted up from the earth on four golden rings. And I believe that's the type of the Lord Jesus crucified, hanging on two pieces of wood by his hands and his feet. That's what his testimony is connected with, the person of the Lord Jesus. And we remembered his work this morning. And God doesn't want us to get away from that, so he's called us to be around him in this manner weekly, to remind our hearts, to get us back in tune, to get our gaze back on this wonderful object, the Lord Jesus, and his sacrifice to glorify his God and Father and to bring us into blessing. Well, just a few thoughts, dear ones. I don't want to be too long. I'd like to leave room for someone else. But Abinadab means noble fathers, you know. And this is one of the reasons we're here, is because the Lord in his mercy and grace has chosen to wake up the hearts of our fathers, we might say. And they had a noble character, and they searched out the scriptures, and the Lord drew them out and gathered them around himself and opened the scriptures to them. And We have inherited from them such written ministry and also a testimony in weakness, but still this wondrous privilege of being gathered out of the camp to be around the person of the Lord Jesus. Well, I just like to say a word to fathers, physical fathers and spiritual fathers. You know, Abraham's father was a hindrance to him. He held him back. And Abraham had to wait till his father passed away to enter into the promised land. Well, I trust none of us as fathers are holding back the progress, the spiritual progress of our physical children, or we could think of that, the spiritual children too, by our lack of discernment or lack of fellowship with the Lord, or hardness or polarization on situations, that we might be large-hearted as our Father is large-hearted and not be a hindrance in any way to our children, but be noble fathers like Abinadab, whose name bears, and to be a help. And I know it's such a help to have fathers in the assemblies, those that care for their spiritual children, and they're not a hindrance to their growth or a stumbling to them, but a real encouragement to them. So just a word to each one of us to be conscious of that. Now, we read in 1 Samuel that there was a man there who was Abinadab's son who cared for the ark, who ministered there. His name means the help of the Lord. This is something our fathers knew, and I trust we know in some measure. Without him, we can do nothing. We need his help. We need his help in temporal things, and we need especially his help in spiritual things. We cannot do without his help. And this person called Eliezer, he's missing here. He's not there. Perhaps if he'd been there, he said, that's not the way to do things, brethren. We should go about it this way. So they had different thoughts. They had a new cart. They had some oxen to pull the cart. Ahio means brotherly, and Uzzah means strength. There was brotherly strength there to do that. Good intentions to bring up the testimony. You know, the Lord takes care of the testimony. Let's not have that intention. We can serve the Lord in the testimony, but he's the one to preserve it and give it increase. And it says that Ahio went before the ark. Verse 4. Remember when they crossed the Jordan River there? The ark went before the people. The Lord has to take the lead. He has to be the one to do the leading, not us. So we need to bow our heads, don't we, brethren, as we gather around the Lord and seek to be led by His Spirit, that we would be characterized by dependence, waiting upon Him, and let Him do the leading. We'll never be sorry for that. We'll be sorry of the opposite. Now there's Uzzah. You can certainly feel for him. Perhaps if I'd been there or you'd been there, perhaps we would have done the same. Just a concern for the ark. Yet lack of discernment of the Lord's power and what he had to do in association with it. You know, that ark, it came back to the land of Israel, was pulled on a cart by two cows who were feeding calves. They weren't directed. They just went. And the Philistines knew the way that ark went back to Israel. It was the Lord. They didn't make a search party and get horses ready and their swords and everything. We're going to go and get that ark. It came back to them by itself. No soldier. No man involved. There it is. There's the ark of God coming back to Israel by itself. We didn't figure out this truth that we're enjoying. God graciously brought it back to us and put it on our laps to enjoy and to walk in and to be faithful in. Well, I guess they didn't really remember that. And Huzzah put forth his hand, and the Lord had to smite him to vindicate his glory and say, well, This is the ark of my testimony, and I can take care of that. The lesson we need to remember, that the Lord is in charge and nothing escapes him. But they came to a threshing floor. That was the source of the problem. They came to Nacon's threshing floor. Everything was going well. Everything seemed to go well. They were having music there and a good time and so happy because the ark was coming back. And you can sympathize with their joy. Yet they came to a place of trouble. And that's when it didn't go so well. Nacon's threshing floor. There are many threshing floors in the scriptures, and I believe they speak to us of testings, times of testings in our life, circumstances that test us. Threshing floor Atad, that's when they buried Jacob. When we face the circumstances of death in our life, being separated from loved ones, these are threshing floors, testing times. And I'm sure those who've gone through these deep waters would bear witness to the Lord's faithfulness as he's put us through these trials, which I don't know much of myself, but I can appreciate that the Lord would sustain such, as he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Remember Gideon, there was a threshing floor there, and he put the fleece out. He was wanting to have some extra proof from God that he was calling him. And he kind of had two threshing floors there because it tested, too, Gideon's lack of faith, because he had to do it twice. But the Lord in grace, he answered twice Gideon's request in that threshing floor. Now, Nacon's threshing floor, different troubles come in, you know. Come into assembly sometimes. And we don't know what to do. And the best thing to do when you don't know what to do is not to do anything. And seek the Lord's mind. And if you still don't know what to do, it's probably because the Lord don't have you to do something. He's going to work things out in his own time. Some things come out shortly. If you put radishes in your garden, maybe 3 weeks after, you'll be eating radishes. But some other things are longer to come out. And the Lord is able. If we're each quiet and doing what we're supposed to do, faithful in the little things as we've had before us, he is faithful. He's not going to miss. He's not going to be late. Never will be late. But sometimes we go before him. Trust the Lord will teach me that lesson. More and more to wait on the Lord. He's never going to be late. But the failure came in here by the oxen. You see, sometimes we can get into a pattern of things where the testimony rests on certain brethren. And I don't want to single out laborers, and I don't have that thought at all. But in a general way, we tend to lean on certain brothers, and they become the ones that are carrying on the testimony, not necessarily by choice, but because of our being passive, certain brothers have to take the lead and take responsibility. But we have to understand that there's a measure that shouldn't be crossed, and that is becoming authoritative on the brethren, taking the Lord's authority on ourselves, and ruling on the saints. May God preserve the testimony from this and each one of us from this. One of the reasons I suggest that the oxen here shook the ark, because the threshing floor, this is where the oxen worked, pulling that threshing cart over the grain in the threshing floor. You say, you shall not muzzle the ox when he treadeth the corn. So this is where the wheat, the grain, was separated from the chaff. And so perhaps, this is just a suggestion, that when the oxen got there, they perhaps got a wind of thought concerning some grain, maybe, that they're used to have as a reward for threshing the corn. And that brought in failure. That brought in imbalance, you might say, which caused the ark to look like it was going to fall off that cart. For those of us who, I should say those of you, but I could include myself, those of us who take part in whatever way in the Lord's testimony, that the Lord would have our hearts searched. That would be no personal motive of getting advantage in whichever way, from whatever service that we do for the Lord. That we would be kept by the grace of God, to be strong in that grace which is in Christ Jesus, to be like Him, to serve others selflessly, having no thoughts for self. The Lord will take care of everything. You know, it's interesting, at the end of this book there, you've heard the account too, I'm sure, of the Araunah's threshing floor, where the Lord brought in judgment on Israel because of David's pride. And He stops there in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And Araunah the Jebusite, he has oxen and he has a cart. And he gives it all to David. And it's used there. David buys it because he doesn't want to give it free, but he buys it, and then he offers that in the threshing floor of Araunah. He offers it as a burnt offering to the Lord. So the oxen, the cart, everything there was burned in the presence of the Lord to be an offering to Him. Oh, how precious to have that spirit, dear ones, which the Lord could grant us, to have this burning desire to please Him in all things. And you know, by the way, this threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite, that's where the temple is going to be built, on Mount Moriah. And you know, this is exactly the place, I believe, that the Lord asked Abraham years and years and years before to go up to that mountain and offer his son as a burnt offering, which he never did. But God Himself, He did that 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus hung on that cross for you and I. And I believe the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite brings before me the wondrous privilege of being in that place that the Lord has chosen for us to be around. That blessed One who fills heaven with His glory can fill our hearts with His glory. And in His faithfulness and grace, He can take care of His testimony. May God give us grace, dear ones, to go on together in peace, as fathers, as brethren, as learning from one another, in mutual dependence on the Lord, waiting on His Spirit. And may He keep us from touching that which we're not allowed to touch, from putting forth our hand for something we're not supposed to do, from going ahead of the Lord and using our strength to better something that the Lord is going to take care of by Himself.